In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our sermon is based this morning on the words of God through the prophet Isaiah. We read in chapter 55, the first five verses. And notice the spiritual aspect of these words compared with the miracle that we just heard about in our gospel lesson. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. This is the word of our Lord. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, this last week my wife and I invited some friends over for a cookout. A couple days before that, we had to go and get the things that we wanted to serve. So when we went to Meijer, we took our Meijer card with us because we were fully aware that what we were going to purchase had a cost and that we would have to pay money for that. The reason we wanted to do that is because we did not want our guests to have to bring anything. We did not want to have our guests be in a position where they had to buy the very things that they were going to eat and drink at our house. The prophet Isaiah, speaking and writing the Lord's words, speak about a different kind of marketplace filled with good food and drink. It speaks about eating and drinking those good things without having to bring them yourself, without having to purchase them with money because they have some kind of cost. We could have chosen as a theme for our sermon this week, our gracious God invites us to the marketplace where things are given away for free. Because that's exactly what he is talking about through Isaiah. Here is a marketplace full of good food and good drink that is without cost, and it is satisfying. That is, it fills us and gives us that good sense of having eaten and received those very things that we need for our nourishment. So the Lord says to us about his everlasting covenant, listen, listen to me. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. That free food and drink is the everlasting covenant of the gospel in Christ. And so before us this morning, we have God's invitation of pure grace to his everlasting covenant. We see, first of all, that this everlasting covenant is the food and drink that is satisfying for our souls. And secondly, that it's not a new covenant in the sense of chronology, but it is an eternal covenant that God gave to David and he has prepared for us. It is the Lord himself who speaks through Isaiah the prophet's mouth and pen. His call to listen to him about this marketplace would call to their minds something that they were very familiar with. Every little village had its marketplace. Maybe a simple parallel would be what we think of as we visit farmers markets today, with a lot of different little booths, a lot of different little areas that sell good food. Very much present today are those kinds of marketplaces in the Middle East. And among the things that they sell are milk and bread. Now those two things, we might say, as we say just of bread, it's the staff of life. Those are good things. Those are things that satisfy us because they're not only filling, but they're also nourishing. They're healthy to give us strength. The Lord's marketplace is is completely different from those human marketplaces in the sense of selling real food and drink. We saw that parallel as Jesus fed the 5,000 plus women and children with bread and fish. They didn't have to bring it themselves enough. They didn't have to buy it from Jesus. The disciples didn't set up a little marketplace, and as Jesus turned a little bit into a lot, sold it to the people. Jesus freely, abundantly fed them. And we read that they were satisfied. Now their stomachs were full. Now they were content. Now they were nourished. This is the picture that the Lord gives us through Isaiah of the everlasting covenant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that milk. It is that living water. It is the food, the spiritual food, that satisfies. A little bit later in his prophecy, Isaiah in chapter 53, speaking about Christ, who would come about 8 centuries later, about Christ as that satisfying food. Isaiah wrote of Jesus, "I will give him a portion," or the Lord speaks through Isaiah, "I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils among the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." And then he adds in chapter 54, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." This food and drink that is the everlasting covenant of God's mercy, of your forgiveness in Christ Jesus, that milk and living water and food is free, and it is satisfying. It cost Jesus, the Son of God, his life. It cost him to be the sacrifice for our sins on the cross. But for us, that everlasting covenant is free. And it is satisfying. It is the staff of our spiritual lives. It's what fills us. It's what makes us content. It's what nourishes us spiritually as the gospel in word and sacrament strengthens our faith, as it increases our love and our hope, as it grows in us our love for God and our love for one another. This food that is the eternal covenant of grace is satisfying to those who are hungering and thirsting after a righteousness other than their own. This food satisfies the poor in spirit, the poor who know that we have nothing that we can offer to our God, nothing that we could give to Him or sacrifice to Him that would in any way help pay for our forgiveness or for our eternal life in heaven, as if we even needed to, because it is complete and because it is universal. And so through the prophet Isaiah, God speaks of that wonderful coming feast, that coming up to the marketplace of God, His Word, where we receive and find that water and that milk and that bread of the eternal covenant of God's mercy and His forgiveness in Christ. That mercy is His covenant of peace. And so Jesus, through Isaiah, asks the question, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? I always, when we teach the petition, give us today our daily bread and catechism, I always remind the students that Jesus didn't teach us to pray, give us today our daily cake. Because cake isn't the staff of life. Cake isn't a necessity. Cake wouldn't keep you alive. But bread does. And bread is a metonymy for everything that is good that we need to sustain our bodies and our lives. And so God, through Isaiah, asks a very good question. Why spend your money on what is not bread? Why spend your money on something that isn't satisfying, that isn't nourishing, that isn't life-giving? You're just really wasting your money. Why labor on what does not satisfy? Have you ever worked really hard for something because you thought it was going to be really good? It was going to be really satisfying. And then when you got that, it turned out to be not quite so satisfying. Didn't turn out really to be all that good after all. And then you thought, why in the world did I spend so much time on that? Why did I spend so much money to get this? And it turns out there's nothing satisfying really about it in my life. Well, spiritually, that really applies, doesn't it, to our own righteousness, to our own works, to our own attempts to somehow please God with what we do or with what we don't do. We waste our time trying ourselves and thinking that we ourselves can put us in a right relationship with God. And so the Lord says, don't waste your effort. Don't waste the time to try to do that, because it's all for nothing, doesn't satisfy, and it's not going to save you. So go to the Word. Go to that spiritual food and drink of Him who says, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come, all you who are thirsty, you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Imagine purchasing something with a simple word. And that's exactly what we do as we say to God, Lord, I believe in what You've done for me. I believe and know that Jesus is my Savior. And so without any cost, without any payment of our efforts, with that simple word, we purchase everything that Jesus did for us on the cross. And it satisfies us. It never lets us down. It fills us and gives us strength and hope and courage, resistance against the devil so that he flees from us, The ability to stand up under temptation rather than it crushing us or destroying us. As Isaiah wrote these words about 800 years before Jesus, he wrote them about 200 years after King David. And he reminded his listeners who were going to be carried off into Babylon because of their idolatry, as he calls them back to him in repentance, he reminds them that this promise that he has for them, this covenant, this one-way promise, not a bilateral covenant like the old one that was only temporary, the law, if you do this, I'll be your God. This one went one way, I'll be your God because I'm going to forgive your sins in my Son. And in fact, in eternity, I already did that in the promise. So he says, I gave this covenant, which is an everlasting covenant. God's commitment to forgive us and the accomplishment of that forgiveness is from eternity. It has no beginning. It's to eternity. It has no end. But he says, I gave that to David. David was a great king. David was a great warrior, a great leader of his people as a type of Christ. I gave that covenant to David. He received it from those before him. And now you're going to receive it. You're going to still have it when you're carried off into captivity and when I bring you back. And you and I have it as God makes that covenant of grace to us. We're part of the fulfillment of Isaiah's words when God said to him, surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will come to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. So he's speaking of David as a type of Christ, and how Christ would summon to himself, how the church would summon to ourselves those that Isaiah didn't know yet. We do that with people we don't even know yet, as we proclaim that gospel and that covenant for them. The Lord is saying that this eternal covenant is for Israel and for all nations, the Gentiles. And that covenant is because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. They will not come to us because of our splendor, but they will come to us because of the glory and the splendor of the Savior that we preach. We, in a very real way, are the Lord's marketplace. To invite people to come and to hear and to receive that spiritual food given to David, modeled in David, fulfilled in Christ, that you and I enjoy forever and ever. The Lord our God has revealed food and drink without cost. It is good food that delights the soul. And so give up any and all your efforts on something that is not that bread. Trust and look to the everlasting covenant that God has made with you in Jesus Christ. End your labors that do not satisfy, and look instead to the labor of Christ that satisfied the Father and satisfies us through the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins. The Lord invites you all. Come, buy and eat. Come, give ear. Hear me, that your soul may live. Amen.